Our scripture today is from the book of Mark, Mark chapter 4, verse 26 to 34. You're welcome to follow along on the screen or in your pew Bible or Bible you might have at home. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this, your word, which you have freely given to us. And through through giving this to us, you have shown us grace. We pray that that grace is able to prepare our hearts and minds to receive this, your word, that we may do so in such a way that honors you. We also pray for your mercy upon the sermon, that it too might be used for your glory. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Mark chapter 4, verse 26 to 34. Hear now God's word. Jesus also said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle, because the harvest has come." He also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs and puts forth large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, and he explained everything in private to his disciples. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So, I think I have to correct something, which is fine. I mean, I correct things all the time in my life. I heard words yesterday that I was unaccustomed to hear. Those words were, "Justin, you're right." It was yesterday I heard those words. I was going to mark it on the calendar, but I didn't do it. What is the number one topic that Jesus talks about in the Bible? What does Jesus preach on the most? Any thoughts?
Love.
Love, yeah. Others? I always thought it was money, but it's not true. Jesus uses money a lot. In fact, if you go to a concordance and you type in the word money in the Gospels, it'll come up a lot. Money, coin, denarius, anything money related. Jesus does say that money is the root of all kinds of evil. Not the root of all evil, but the root of all kinds of evil. But yeah, money's not at the top. In fact, when you do see money pop up in parable stories, he's not actually talking about money. He's talking about something else. One of Jesus' largest topics, most talked about topics, is the kingdom of God. Now, Jesus wasn't the one who started talking about this. Who talked about the kingdom of God first? Was John the Baptist. John the Baptist would preach that the kingdom of God is near. And then after John the Baptist faded away and Jesus took over the ministry and took it to places John couldn't, Jesus' ministry was still talking about the kingdom of God. Now, the thing about the kingdom of God is that we don't talk about it a whole lot today in the same way that Jesus talked about it then. When we think about the kingdom of God, the thing that comes to mind first is Revelation. We talk about God's kingdom in a way to say that God's kingdom will come. And in fact, in the Lord's Prayer, we pray that. I gotta see. There's "Our Father art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come." And when we say that, it's kind of a future hope. May thy kingdom come. And we know that Christ will come again. And when Jesus comes again, Jesus will establish God's kingdom here on earth. And that's how we grapple with the kingdom of God. Boy, it sure would be nice if Jesus would come today, because then the kingdom of God would be here on earth and God would be in control. But the neat thing is that Jesus didn't really preach it in that sense. Yes, there was that sense that Christ preached it in, that the kingdom of God will come. But more often than not, Jesus was, the kingdom of God is at hand. And one thing we know about hands is that they're never very far away, Lord willing. If your hand is very far away, you got other issues that you need to worry about at that moment. The hand is here. The hand is near. That which is in reaching distance, the kingdom of God is at hand. And we forget about that. We forget that the kingdom of God is at hand. And Jesus tried to tell us about the kingdom of God and what it was in his parables. And I would say several, if not most of the parables are centered around the kingdom of God. We have two such parables here. The one thing that almost all the kingdom of God parables have in common is that the kingdom of God is surprising. When you think about God's, when you think about kingdom, one of the first things that come to my mind is King Arthur, what was the name of his kingdom? Camelot. Thank you. I couldn't remember. And I think of walls, and I think of giant gates, I think of impenetrableness. You can't get into that kingdom very easily. And you could watch tons of movies with great, awesome depictions of kingdoms. One show I don't recommend, but it did have a cool kingdom, which is Game of Thrones. You know, the King's Landing was just amazing. The giant, and when I think of kingdom, that's what I think of, this like impenetrable place, easily defend, and there's a righteous king, when I think of God's kingdom, that is looking over the people, and all is well, and there's just this understanding of being safe. The way that kingdom of God had evolved over the years throughout the church is that when they started preaching the kingdom of God is near, then Christians throughout time started to try and develop a world where the kingdom of God existed. One of those kingdoms was Constantine's reign. Constantine thought that he could bring the kingdom of God here on earth through his own means. Then you go from Constantine, and the idea of the kingdom of God started to shape and started to morph, and it brought us the Crusades. That they went out in force with weapon and might and strength, and they tried to subjugate a people in order to bring God's kingdom at hand. After the debacle, which was the Crusades, then the kingdom of God started to kind of fade away, this understanding of the kingdom of God being here. And there started to look a future understanding of God's kingdom. But we should never lose the truth that of Jesus' preaching, that the kingdom of God is at hand, that the kingdom of God is near us. But our understanding of kingdom needs to change, because parables showed us that the kingdom of God will always be surprising, and the kingdom of God will be under God's control, not ours. C.S. Lewis had an understanding of heaven, which was that if you are bound, it's not just heaven; it's an understanding of eternity. And earth is part of that eternity. And C.S. Lewis would say something like, if you are bound for hell, then the doorstep of hell is earth. And we experience parts of hell on earth, parts of hopelessness and loneliness and an understanding that nothing is ever right. And everything's, and you've heard it said, and some of you have said it yourself, things are going to hell in a handbasket. one of my favorite sayings, as if to say, you know, we shouldn't say it, that kind of thing. But those who are going to heaven, earth is just the beginning parts of heaven. We experience hope, we experience joy, we experience strength in weakness, we experience hope in suffering, and we experience part of the eternity of God right now in these moments. And I think in some degree, at least to a small degree, Christ would agree, may agree with that. Because for Jesus, the kingdom of God was now close at hand. But not as we think it is. Some of the parables were surprising, like this one. It's like a farmer who goes out, the kingdom of God, someone would scatter seeds on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. How many farmers do you know plant the seed when the seed needs planted, go inside the house, and then each and every day they come out, they sit on their porch and they watch, and that's all they do. And they just sit around and they do nothing, watching. They don't do that. Farmers are busy again and again and again every single day. Sunrise, sunset. But the kingdom of God is like someone who goes out, plants a seed, and then God takes care of everything else. And then one day when the farmer goes outside and sees the grain is ripe, immediately he goes out with his sickle because the harvest has come. In this parable, does the farmer do nothing? No, every day he goes out and he watches and he waits. As Christians, we too, and as the kingdom of God, need to watch and wait. And sometimes we don't, or sometimes we watch for the wrong things. We go out into the world and we look around and we say, this is awful. This is terrible. Back in my day, it was so much better. Either these old things I've repeated time and time again. And we think, where is Jesus? Jesus is absent. You read social media and it's a terrible place to be most of the time. We look at our denomination. We look at our government, we look at our culture, and unity seems to be a thing that's gone, and division is here and now. And we look at these things and we think, boy, I can't wait until Jesus comes, because then everything will be better. The kingdom of God will finally be here. But this farmer was able to watch every single day. And what he was looking for was God every single day. And as Christians, when we look out into this world with eyes open to see Jesus Christ, we understand that parts of the kingdom of heaven are here right now. And where we see division, we see Christ at work in the lives of people on both sides. Where we see people who are constantly putting people down, we see people then who need encouraged. Those who are being put down and those who are putting people down all need encouragement and love. When we look with the eyes through Jesus Christ, then we start to see opportunities to love, to share, to be involved. When we see that, then we see parts of the kingdom of God right here, right now. And we know once the grain is ripe, then he, God, will go out and take care of everything else. Kingdom of God, we've heard this, is like a mustard seed. When I think of earthly kingdoms and of royal priesthoods and of kingships, I think of the strong and mighty tree. An oak that can't be broken. A giant cedar that is stronger than any wind. With the branches that branch out over everything, strong limbs that you could hang swings on or build houses in or whatever the case is. These are strong and mighty kingdoms. But for Jesus, the kingdom of God is a shrub. Oh, a giant shrub, to be sure. But a shrub, bush, a mustard bush, it stretches out far and wide, and it's enormous. It's not like any kingdom we ever imagined. And yet within that shrub, birds can find protection. They can make their homes. Birds and animals find rest. It's not as we thought, but it can be better. The kingdom of God is not something, just something that is coming. It's something that we can see now if we just look, if we just trust, if we're able to look at this world with hope, we can see God at work today. And the work of the church is not to bring Jesus' kingdom here. That's God's goal. That's God's responsibility. God will bring God's kingdom and is bringing God's kingdom now. The responsibility of the church is to call attention to it. To say, look, there are the gates right there. There is God's protection right there. In the midst of the division, God has authority, not man. And so I pray that we as a church live, hopefully, live in such a way that we see God's kingdom here and now and always. Close with this final prayer. God, our Father, we ask you to help us to worship you in an acceptable way. Help us to be always aware that true worship demands of us to live just lives and to work for justice and peace in this world. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Go in peace.